on Connect FM 93.5,
95.3. Well, Mondays and Fridays, we are excited to have two terrific people on who solve the problems of the world. Brother Johnny is in New Orleans.
Houston, Texas. We're 78, by the way.
Wow! Jealous.
Mike is in Chicago. Are you not, Mike?
It's freezing. It's cold.
It's 78 in Houston. Too bad we can't average the cities out. In any event, Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, all-around terrific guy. Brother Johnny, the Thomas Edison of our time at Oil and Gas.
Yeah.
Great to have them both here. Okay, we begin with a debate last night. The part at the very beginning regarding the Marianne Gingrich Nightline ABC interview. Newt Gingrich said, I can't believe you started a presidential debate on this question. He put the media in their place saying we're tired of the elite media protecting Barack Obama and attacking Republicans. John, how do you take that?
Well, I think he made a very good point because they'll just put their files in a row and who's ever winning, they'll pick a story that's pretty tawdry and may have a modicum of truth to it or may not, doesn't really matter. But they'll time it like this was about 2 days before the South Carolina primary. And they'll just launch. And a point Newt made in addition to just objecting to the content was, you know, my friends and my daughters have the other side of that story, which isn't true, which they were willing to talk about, and ABC wasn't interested in. The facts were another side. They just wanted to attack Newt Gingrich. That was the point. So I think he was right.
Mike, what's your take?
Well, there's no question he's right. I mean, the media is, I guess, way too much in our country, guys. They really do. I mean, and they can basically ask you anything. And they can ask you a two-space question, but there is no right answer for it, you know. Do you still cheat on your wife? No. Well, you used to? Well, you know, it's one of those deals, you know. It's a catch-22 situation. And, you know, that has nothing to do with who he is. That was 20-some years ago. But that's what the media is going to bring up because they are protecting the incumbent. And that's just the way they're going to operate, so. You got to understand that. I thought it was outstanding what he said because it is despicable.
Well, and how about his point?
If you're talking about what's important to our country, then you're going to bring up something about a guy in his personal past, which every single person has something personal in their past that probably they're not that excited about.
How do we get to this point where every little detail of one's life is fodder for this whole thing, and it seems to be legitimate to ask? He was right about, you know, difficult to govern the country, difficult to get good, honest people to try this. It's just, it's an elimination kind of a thing, Johnny.
Well, it isn't a little point. It's got no relevance. It's a red herring. In other words, it's just a distraction, and they do it to question and abase a candidate they want to pick on. That's what I thought was a little bit over the line here on this story, because every single candidate, Mike, every single candidate that's come ahead has been targeted with something like this, and not until they took the lead. And so they call it vetting, but when it's on the other side of the political equation, we don't get that. Not near as much, it doesn't seem. So
I think it's the same thing. When Herman Cain started, you know, going up in the polls, he got it, you know. They destroy it in any way they can, and it's just, it's an unfair situation. It really is. I mean, let's first of all debate the person running for office. What are his qualifications versus the guy in office? Does it have something to do with having 22 years or 40 years ago? I don't think so. I really don't. I'm sorry. You know, and this is a big world. A lot of people do a lot of different things, and over a period of time, their lives change. So, you know, I don't know what happened there. I think, first of all, I can understand why he got away from his former wife. Idiot. You talk about a first-class idiot that would go on TV and make that statement that he wanted to know. Well, God bless. I mean, that's America, I guess. That's what it's all about. But I don't know. It gets bothersome to me. I mean, I watch. The thing that makes me mad, even in the primaries, is how bad they attack each other.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I really understand why they're attacking each other. Let's say what you're going to do, what your modus operandi is, what you're going to do when you get off, how you're going to change the things that have been done, how you're going to compete against the guy who's in the office. That's what I think you got to talk about. And I'm starting to hear a little bit more of it now, but you didn't hear anything of it before. You know, let me say one other thing. I don't care. You know, if somebody, why would it be important all of a sudden at this point in my life do you want to know what my tax return was? Yeah. Why would that be important? Mm. Now, why wouldn't I tell you if it wasn't important? That's the other question. But it's not important to anybody. What is your tax? Show us your tax return. Why?
Who I think that that plays to that class warfare strategy, which is to somehow challenge the validity, or at least make people feel like they're taking all your money. And I don't know what the angle is, and I think it's a pretty shameful approach. And Steve, when you talk about integrity, and I've brought this up before, but the President of the United States standing on the steps of the 747 picking on company jets, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. That's a $500 million plane. I think our company jet's 22 years old. It's 150 times cheaper than his airplane, and he knows what he's flying. He spends more money on jets, that technology, which I have no problem with. He's complaining. He spends more money on that technology with his wife flying in a separate group of jets than any human being on the planet. And yet he somehow disparages people or companies that use jets. Do you know how many millions of people are employed with aviation? What kind of integrity is that? And that isn't 30 years ago. That's right now. And that's that class warfare thing that's really starting to bother me, because America's all about giving everybody a chance to succeed. And I thought all of the candidates up there, Mike, presented that in their own way pretty well.
Well, John, I tell you, you make a very great point. How many rides on a private jet do you think he turned down? How many rides on a private jet when he could have went private jet or commercial do you think he turned down?
Mm-hmm. And, Mike, look, not very
zero.
Many, and I'll tell you something.
Absolutely zero.
Look, we grew up in small towns in Pennsylvania and Illinois, and we had a chance to get to where we could have a jet in America. That's what America's about, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not going to complain about the president flying around in two 747s. He's the one picking on us.
It
just really irks me, Stevie J.
Yeah.
And then they want to get Newt's ex-wife from 15 years ago and embarrass him at the exact critical time. And that's, I think, what we're talking about here. It's a double standard, and it's not fair.
All right, 7:41 on 93.5, 95.3. Brother Johnny and Hall of Famer Mike Ditka every Monday and Friday from 7:30 to 8. I mean, but in this day and age, it's going to be this. How do we ever get back to really avoiding this, or is the genie out of the bottle? It's always going to be class warfare. It's always going to be he said, she said. It's always going to be dirty. It's always going to be vote for me because they're worse. What about lifting me up?
Well, the thing that's happening, you brought it up earlier, is we have created in this country, or the politicians, or the man at the top, has created this class problem now. I don't think there's a lot of people in our country that really sit around and think, boy, I'm in a different class than that guy. But what John said earlier is the whole motivation for America was what you were given was an opportunity. You were given an opportunity of education, of a freedom of choice, of religion, freedom to grow as much as you can as a person, and freedom to work as hard as you want to go where you want to go in life. Now, John has done that. So one of the benefits is because he's done that, he has to get from a lot of places to a lot of other places. So he has invested in an airplane to do that. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Why anybody would bring that up, I don't know, except you got to understand that he's in the extreme minority of people who can afford to do that. So what we're trying to bring everybody down is that we're worried all of a sudden about the lower class. The lower class is the lower class for one reason. There's always going to be a class system, whether you like it or you don't like it. Now, but you have your chance to bring yourself out of any situation if you're willing to work at it.
And the thing about it is, here's the ironic thing, Stevie J, is with that technology that's available to us as humanity, we can do a lot more. And if you want to talk about spreading the wealth, you want more guys like me, you, and Mike to have good cars, trains, and planes, so we can take our friends around in them, and not just Barack Obama and his entourage, and Michelle, oh my gosh, she reminds me of Leon Spinks, Stevie J, except Leon used to pay for his entourage, and she does have, she has better teeth, but listen, I tell you what, we can share with our friends, and we have the opportunity to share the wealth, quote unquote, and that's how it's done, giving everybody who can contribute a chance to contribute. You don't set up there and say, no, you've contributed enough. I'm taking what you're doing, and I'm giving to this guy. He's never had a chance. Well, mm-hmm. he's screwed up for the last 20 years. What do you mean he's never had a chance? Mm-hmm. So, well, let's give him another chance. He's got this solar energy thing. Let's give him $500 million. Yeah. See how he does with that.
Right.
And it's really not the way we want to go. And I thought, Mike, I thought all four candidates, one way or another, presented that. I tell you what, I wish Ron Paul could be the domestic president. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You'd see some changes in Washington then, I guarantee you.
John, I don't know that a person can change anything. I don't think the president can change anything. I think it's politics in general. I think it's the ruling party. I think when you look at what's going on in the House of Representatives and the Senate, I don't know how much one man can change. I know he can affect change. I know he has the power of the veto. He has a lot of other things going for him. But I look at these people. You know, this is an outbreak, man. This is an epidemic in Washington. It's all bad.
Well, and I think we're down to, what, 11% approval, Steve?
I think Congress, 11, 12, 13.
That's really zero. Look, 11% of the people work for Congress, so that's zero. Okay.
You're right.
Yeah. All right, so before we get to these NFL matchups here for the weekend, what is the one thing that can happen that can at least start this thing changing? Where is it? Is it term limits?
No, it's people understanding. The only people that can affect change are people. So, and they say the power is in the ballot box or the election booth, whatever you want to call it. They have to make those changes. But, I'm being very honest with you, and I listen to a lot of politicians. Like I said, I went to I spoke to the House of Representatives, and, I hear the dealings, and everything seems to be, these people don't get in office to serve, unfortunately. They get into office to prosper, and they want it to be a long-term situation. They make a lifetime job out of it. It's not a job of service. Actually, I don't know. It's a job of occupation, I guess. It bothers me a lot, believe me, because I do believe there should be term limits.
Well, I think the change has to be in just the attitude that government can take care of everything, and you can make a law that'll fix something. And I think it's a general understanding by the people who elect their politicians that, we really don't need that much of your help. In fact, you're trying to help too much, and we need to stop growing government. But the average person, Mike, has to understand that, because they're going to get their guy to get them as much as they can.
Yeah, they want to be taken care of. They want the handout. They want the free ride. That's what the average person wants. And it's just the fact that we got a government that coddles to them, and that happens to be, in some cases, the majority. So.
And I don't know if the average person wants that, but certainly most of us, if he's getting that, then I ought to get this.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of a death spiral, and there's not enough to go around at the level we're handing it out.
I think everybody agrees
with that, but what do you do to stop it? So.
I've never in my life thought because somebody else got something, I was entitled to it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, Mike. I never thought that way. I've thought about maybe I could get to that point sometime.
You're
but
right,
I've never
exactly. You could get to that point because you worked at it.
You have a chance for it.
You paid the price. Yep. You got an education. Got it.
Interesting discussion, gentlemen. It's 7:48, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. We switch to the NFL. First game Sunday, Baltimore at New England. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I just did a show earlier. Baltimore has to do two things. First of all, they got to stop talking. Stop pointing at the quarterback. But if they want to win the football game, the best way to win is to keep Brady on the sideline. How do you do that? You get a good dose of the running game. Now, in saying that, they got to take their shots down the field because that secondary of the Patriots is not that good. The other thing is, when Brady does get on the field, they got to get him on the ground. Now, in saying that, it's a lot easier said than done. And right now, they cannot. And listen to me, the Baltimore defense, I don't care who they got, who they think they got, cannot match up with the pass offense. They cannot match up with those tight ends and those receivers. And that quarterback, I'm just telling you, and that coach, they cannot match up with that. So if they think they can get in a scoring thing with them, they're crazy. So it's going to have to be, they're going to have to limit the scoring of the Patriots and really, really try to keep Brady off the field.
And I think, too, Mike, they're going to have to, for Baltimore to win, they're going to have to do what San Francisco did to the Saints, which is just take the ball away. Take it.
Well, exactly. And they got to score points in the process, guys. It isn't a matter of going down into the red zone and kicking a field goal every time. You got to come away with points on the board. And like I said, we know that we found out two things this playoffs. The Packers had, I think, the last rated defense, the next to last, and actually the Patriots had the last, the next to last, one or two. Now, you know, the Packers, they proved what theirs could be vulnerable. The Saints did not have a great defense. They had a middle-of-the-pack defense. So when you start looking at it, we say, well, defense, well, maybe it didn't win during the season, but it may end up prevailing here in the playoffs. 49ers have a heck of a defense. So do the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, when you look at those two football teams, those are two really the best two defenses in football.
And I think they might be the best two teams. Now, we'll see. You know, Stevie, we got Mark and Ron Galatolo. They were sitting behind us out in San Francisco listening, and they're listening to us now and want to hear what we think. Well, you know, Mike's been calling San Francisco all year, and I think it's Alex Smith's game. If he plays like he did against us, San Fran's going to win that football game. I thought Eli was going to win, but I'm thinking that's a coin flip depending on Alex Smith.
John, I think people don't realize one thing about Alex Smith, and this was said about him when he came out, what a good athlete he is. You saw the running ability.
That surprised me, that run around the end.
He can move, and he's a good athlete, a lot of weight. I think Jim will use him more in that way. The thing about it is, right now, they're really a good team. You know, and I say that, and people, what do you mean? They're a good team. They play good offense. They play good defense. They play good special teams. They got an outstanding coach. Okay. Now, the Giants have the same thing. They got an outstanding coach. Right now, they're cooking on all cylinders on offense. They're cooking on all cylinders on defense. But they haven't done that all year. But the one consistency about the 49ers, they've been a good defense all year.
Well, and I tell you, right now they may be two of the most balanced teams in the league, although the San Francisco offense hasn't been as good as, say, Eli's. But,
No, not at all.
And probably the San Francisco defense is a little better than the Giants. So pretty good matchup out there, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. It could still be the Harbaugh. I said no Harbaughs. There may be two Harbaughs in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's you've got some great football. We're looking forward to it Sunday afternoon. If you were to pick, Mike, who are your two in the Super Bowl then?
Well, my picks, I'm not very good. I'm not very objective about it. I want the 49ers to get the Super Bowl for Jim Harbaugh. I think I want them to realize and they get his dream, and I know what it is. On the other side, I just don't see Baltimore going into New England and beating them. Now, I'm not saying they can't. You know, they've done it in the past, but I think it's going to be New England.
Well, that'll be the Super Bowl, New England and San Fran, and that'll be a good game, Stevie.
There's a lot of people who think it's going to be the two news, New York and New Orleans, or New England, rather.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Well, all right, we'll see. It ought to be great. It ought to be super to watch. And again, Steve Spagnuolo, the former Rams coach, is now defensive coordinator for our Saints. Johnny?
Well, I think Steve Spagnuolo did a great job. Mike, he was the Giants' defensive coordinator, wasn't he? I thought he was.
Yeah, he was. He was. And
they did well and won a Super Bowl. So, our coordinator, Greg Williams, went to coach with his friend, Jeff.
Fisher.
Yeah. Jeff Fisher, yep. who was with Tennessee, and now he's with the St. Louis Rams. So, I don't know. We'll see. Hey, we had trouble on defense. I thought Williams did okay with who we had. I just think we need a few more guys on that side of the ball. But I think Spagnuolo's going to be a good defensive coordinator. He was in New York. So
we already got the date penciled in for 2013 when the Superdome will be host of the Super Bowl. How about that next year? What? Huh?
Well, I mean, you know, Mike, we got a chance of hosting. That'd be the
Indianapolis this year.
What's that?
It's a heck of a lot better than Indianapolis this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, we would like to. We'd like to host. That'd be the first home city hosting their own Super Bowl. So I don't think that's happened yet.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, all right, Mike, will you be going to the Super Bowl? Or are you going to have activities?
Well, no, I've got to work the pregame show. I'll be down there. I go anywhere on Wednesday. Center on Wednesday night and Friday night, and then I'll do the show on Sunday. And I'm taking a private plane back here. I got to go into the doctors on Monday and have a process done on my heart. So
what?
But then I'm going down to Florida. I'm okay. My heart's out of rhythm.
Okay. You're okay because, man, we need you here there.
We need you. We need you.
Well,
hey, Steve, I got you. I've never been okay, but I'm still going to be around, I hope.
I want to say something about the San Francisco fans, too, which were, they were great to us. And the guys I'm talking about that are listening, Mark and Ron, they when we went ahead, it looked like we were going to win the game. And they said, well, we're going to stick with you until you get to your car. So I thought that was pretty good for San Francisco.
Wow.
And we needed them. We needed them.
Yeah.
Pretty good guys. And it might have been a little rough. But it turned out, didn't need them. And everybody was real happy with us in the end.
Well,
Steve,
we're glad to have Mark and Ron from San Francisco listening. Also, I want to do a shout-out to Andy Smith at Flightstar. Loves the show. Loves hearing Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny. Andy, we appreciate you listening over at Flightstar. We love Flightstar. All right, gentlemen, we'll leave it there, but we'll talk again Monday. We'll be watching Mike Ditka, the ageless wonder, on television on ESPN this weekend. Always a pleasure to see you, Mike. I think you're one of the best things on TV, bud.
Well, thank you. You guys are great. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. All right, we'll be talking. Thank you, Johnny.
All
appreciate
right.
you.
Talk to you later, guys.
Thank you, Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, live this morning from Houston and Chicago. It is 78 in Houston, Texas.
Mm. Jealous.
And a little bit colder here.
Yeah, 15 wind chill set.
I don't think this is any fun at all.
No.
The heck? It's great having you listening here. It's Friday. It's January 20, 2012. And we'll be back. Fox News in just a couple of moments. 7:56 in Champaign, Urbana. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.